King David had brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. It was quite an ordeal, him getting it there. He was very excited, enthusiastic. He actually had a banquet, which he provided all of them, a meal for everybody that attended this banquet. He had a celebration. It was a celebration of excitement. He had pulled together some musicians, some instruments. In the course of this, he also composed a song. And in this song, there's some things I want us to pay attention to in this solemn song of David. I'll begin reading. This was a song that he had given to Asaph, starting in verse 8. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. This is the 16th chapter of 1 Chronicles. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing songs unto him. Talk ye of all of his marvelous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done. His wonders and judgments of his mouth. I want to pause there. I began studying from these passages and wanted to introduce a subject that became very broad and extensive. I want to entitle the message, God's Wonderful Works. I read about a kindergarten teacher that told all of her students to draw something on a piece of paper that was important to them. And as they were laboring, there was a kindergartner by the name of Johnny in the back, and he was back there drawing, and everybody got through and turned in their paper with the exception of him. So the kindergarten teacher went back and put her arm around Johnny and said, Johnny, you know, everybody else is done, and what are you drawing? And he said, I'm drawing God. And the kindergarten teacher, said to Johnny, Johnny, you know, nobody has seen God. Nobody knows what God looks like. Johnny said, well, they will know when I get done. I wish I had that kind of courage and that kind of confidence this morning as I address this subject. God's wonderful works. David, in this particular psalm, tells us that we need to remember, we need to reflect, we need to constantly be aware of the wonderful works of God. And as I went through the scriptures, I began to find that actually his works are indescribable, that the wonders and the works of God are incomprehensible, they're innumerable, they're immeasurable. And scripture after scripture, as I went through them, I began to feel overwhelmed as I began to try to contemplate and consider the wonders of God. I don't know if the study of this subject was solely for me or whether it was for this particular occasion, because I became so overwhelmed as I tried in my weakness to consider the wonders of God. David says in these passages, talk of his wondrous works. David says in verse 12, he says, remember the marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders. Each of us, on a daily basis, we experience the wonders of God. Whether you realize it or not, the wonderful works of God are experienced all around us. And perhaps it would take a million lifetimes to even review or reflect or remember some of the past works that God has done in his providence, in history of nations, in the history of the church. Century after century has unfolded, and through those centuries, always at every time, in every century, at every second, there has been, in some way or another, the wonders of God. They've been displayed constantly and perpetually down through the ages, and they're still being displayed and unfolded before our eyes day after day. Actually, I think if we go through the Psalms, like Psalm 77 and 14, there we read that thou art God that dost wonders and hast declared thy strength among the people. In other words, we are a people that cannot avoid. They're unavoidable. The wonders of God are inescapable. They're unavoidable. They're before us all the time. In Psalms 118, verse 23, it says, this is the Lord's doings. It is marvelous before our eyes. We are constantly seeing the wonders of God. They're inescapable. They're immeasurable. They're unavoidable. Job in Job 5 and 9 says, these wonders, these great things that God does, they are unsearchable. In Job 5 and 9, he says they're a marvelous thing without number. Paul, he concluded in his with regard to the grace and the salvation that has been afforded mankind, and said in Romans 11 and 33, oh, the depths and the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. The wonder of wonders. As I began to study this subject of the things that we have witnessed, the things that we have experienced, the great wonders that should cause us to admire God, to praise God, to glorify his name, to sing unto the Lord because of his marvelous works, I paused and reflected on the times that I have had the opportunity to see some of the wonders of the world. The wonders of the world, the privileges that I have seen and travel and going various places, the wonders of man, but they're no comparison to the wonders of God. I still contend that we experience miracles every single day. That his wonders are all around us. His works, his wonderful, marvelous, miraculous works are all around us. Now we could examine creation, we could examine providence, we could examine redemption. We could go through and just examine God himself. God is a wonderful God. He's marvelous. He's incomprehensible. God's not like you and me. God is God. He is like none other. Some of you may have been here that Sunday night in January that I preached on a holy God. I had great liberty with that. And we could study this morning some of the attributes of God. God himself is a wonder. He is a great mystery when you start examining his attributes. How that he is omniscient and omnipotent. How his immensity. How that God is with everybody at every place at every time. Whether you're rich or poor, high or low. Whether you're on the sea or in the universe somewhere on Mars. If man went to Mars, God would be with him. Amen. God is a God greater than our capacity to understand. The psalmist said his ways are past finding out. God is greater than us. I don't know why we have suddenly thought that perhaps God is like us. And just because you know God doesn't mean that he doesn't know more than you know. God is God. He is the creator of this world. He is the Almighty. He's an infinite intelligent spirit. A being way beyond us. He has all power in heaven and in earth. He created this world and all things therein. And not only is he the creator, but he is the continuation of this world. He is the one that supplies the continuation of this world. He is the controller of this world. He sustains this world. Paul said that in him we live, we move, and we have our being. We're here today because of God. Oh, how great God is. We don't have the capacity to fully understand Him. But I assure you, God is an awesome God. Psalms 145, verse 3. He says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And His greatness is unsearchable. Perhaps there remaineth no greater wonder and mystery than a self-existing God. People, He has no beginning and He has no end. He always was and He always will be. Oh, what a great God we have. And I'm thankful to know that God. I'm thankful that we have that kind of God. The psalmist said, Psalms 90 and 2, actually it was Moses, as you said, before the mountains were brought forth, wherever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. John the Revelator saw Him in Revelations 4 and 8 with the four beasts, with their six wings, full of eyes. They rested not day nor night, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and which is to come. You may go to church somewhere and they'll offer you, you know, you have a problem and you have a situation. You've got a circumstance that's developed in your life, and they'll take you to their church library and they'll offer you some self-help book. Or they'll say, well, we've got these counselors over here, and if you go through this counseling program, you'll be okay in the end. Or they'll say, here's a pamphlet, read this. Listen, when I'm in trouble, when I'm in despair, when I've lost everything and I'm like Job scraping boils from my skin with a piece of pottery, don't give me some self-help aid. Give me a holy God. Amen. And I'm thankful that I go to a church where they preach an awesome, almighty, all-powerful Jehovah God, which was, which is, and which is to come. He has all power, my friend. God alone is self-sufficient. God alone is self-existent. He is a God of wonder. And that God of wonder provides us comfort and consolation. I'm glad I have that kind of God in my life. Aren't you? One that I can turn to. There's nothing He can't help me do. I believe in Him. I believe in His awesome power. And when I start remembering, like David inquires or tells us we should do in this song, I think about, well, you know, when the people of Israel were backed up against the Red Sea, God divided the waters for His people. I believe He did that. I believe if God, through His providence and through His purpose, needed to divide Old Hickory Lake, He could divide it. No, let me go beyond that. If He needed to divide the Mississippi, if He needed to divide the Atlantic Ocean to serve His purpose, to save His people, He would stand up on end, my friend, and we could walk across on dry ground. See, because God is an unchanging God. He says, I am the Lord God. I changeth not. And all the things that He's done in the past, He can do them again. I'm telling you, we have a wonder-working God. I had full pages of notes on this subject. You know, and I was praying and meditating on it. And I was thinking, well, what really is the wonder of wonders? I mean, in my life, I realize every one of us, we are a wondrous Those of us that have been saved especially, we are one of His wonders. All we have to do is look in the mirror. I mean, when I the work of Christ Jesus in my life, I mean, the changes He's made to me, the modifications through the sanctification of the Spirit, the alterations, the transformation that's occurred in my life, that is a miracle. It is a wonder of wonders. But if you should ask me what the wonder of wonders really is, I'll tell you what it is. It's God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ is the wonder of wonders. We can't wrap our head around God, I assure you. You can try, and your head will explode like mine almost did this week. But I do know this, that almost 2,000 years ago, God sent His Son in the world, and the Son came to reveal the Father. And Jesus Christ is the manifestation of the holy, righteous Jehovah God that created us and that we serve. And then when you see Him, Jesus, you've seen the Father. And I guess through the centuries of time, man has tried to evaluate and calculate and understand who God is. And one day after God pointed His finger down to the earth, and He said, "That is my Son right there, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye Him." That's who I'm like right there. Jesus. Oh, me. One of the greatest working wonders is the wonder of pardon. Those of us today that have been saved, we still can't fully comprehend what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. Soteriology, the study of salvation, we perpetually study what God has done to us, what He's done for us. Sometimes I don't fully understand the wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everybody that's born of the Spirit. When God comes on the scene and brushes across our soul, when we've experienced the washing of regeneration and the forgiveness of sin in Christ Jesus, we can't fully comprehend it. Oh, but we enjoy it. We experience it, and you can know it for yourself. Every saved soul stands in wonder of God's greatness in Christ Jesus. Oh, me. The most glorious and wondrous truth that blankets all of time and eternity is that Jesus came to this world to save sinners. Oh, me. Well, I'm getting a lot of fun out of this if you're not. I'm enjoying myself. I'll tell you something, I love the Lord today. Why does God do all these wondrous works? Because He's a wonderful God. He's great in His wonders, great in His forgiveness, great in His pardon. He is invariably, unchangeably wonderful. The Apostle Paul. I may have butchered this message all to pieces. That's all right. I had a lot of fun preaching it anyway. But the Apostle Paul set himself up as a standard. And he said, "I am the chiefest of sinners." See, I think sometimes we get to thinking that, yeah, God had that power in the past, but His power has diminished. Or as we draw the curtain upon on humanity, as we near the end of civilization, as we draw closer to the coming of the Lord, that God's power has diminished somewhat. That He no longer works those wonders like He once did. That's a lie. God has just as much power and has promised to continue to work those wonders till the very end. And Paul set himself up as an example that he was the chiefest of sinners and God saved him and he can save you today. Most of us simply, all we simply have to do is look in the mirror and we see the wonders of God. Don't we? How he saved us and changed us. Most of us would be in jail if it wasn't for the grace of God. There's no telling where we would be today if it wasn't for his mercy. He saved us. We are children of God. He changed us and transformed us. I want to encourage you to remember, to reflect, to believe in, to have confidence in the wondrous work of God. He's still working today. He's working in the church. Oh, he's preserved it all down through the centuries. And I assure you that at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, she'll still be here. The gates of hell will not and cannot prevail against the church. And if you really, genuinely want to experience the wonders of God, you'll have to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. For he is the wonders of wonders. I appreciate your attention. We're going to have a song. There may be somebody here today. You have never been born again to the Spirit of God. You've never been to the water and drank of that living water that flows from the throne of God. Perhaps you're here today and you've never experienced a work of grace in your heart. It's a great wonder, isn't it? What amazes me today is that people are saying that you can experience the blood of Jesus and the greatest wonder of wonders and not know it. That's stupid. Amen. Tell you what, when the Holy Ghost comes in you, you'll know it. Amen. When God does a work of grace in your heart, when he takes out the stony heart and puts in a heart of flesh, when he alters and rearranges you and transforms you, when the blood of Jesus is really applied to your heart, you'll know it. You'll know that you've been to the fountain. You'll know that you've just drank of the living water. Jesus told the Samaritan woman in the 4th chapter of John, he told her that if you would drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. Isn't that a wonder of wonders? Huh? That you can drink of some water and never thirst again? Huh? That there's living water? Is that living water still available? The same water that Jesus offered the Samaritan woman in the 4th chapter of John is available to you. And I'm telling you, just like he told her, if you'll drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. Amen? Praise God for the wondrous works of God in my life and in my heart. You need the wondrous works of God in your life and in your heart, where that you too can look in that mirror and you can see that God is working on you. Let's stand. Are you saved? Have you been born again? Are you one of God's children? Do you really believe that he can split the Atlantic? I tell you, that kind of faith comes by the help and the aid of the Holy Ghost. God alone does his wondrous works. He don't need your help. God alone does these wondrous works, the Bible says. Emphasis on alone. Listen, if you ever get saved, God will have to do it. Amen? You can't save yourself. Somebody else can deliver you. You need the wondrous works of God upon your heart and life. Come, receive that. Get that today while there's time and opportunity. Seek him. Seek his face today, as David said in this song, as he prompted you, as he encouraged you in this song. Let us all seek the Lord. Let us sing. How is it with your soul today? unsearchable, unfathomable works of God are around you every day. In creation, in providence, in the people that He saves. Those that you've known that's really been to the fountain, been changed by His grace. Miracle of miracles manifested in your life constantly and perpetually. You need one today. You need God to change you, save you, make you anew. Would you seek the Lord today that He might rearrange your heart and your life? God knows where you're at today. He's omniscient. He knows your heart. He knows everything the Bible says. He probeth the heart. He knows your thoughts. There's no escaping God. God, have mercy. Where are you going to run? Where are you going to run from His presence? The psalmist said, where can I go from Thy Spirit? Where can I go from Thy presence?